724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday already edition of It's Your Turn, another in a long string of gorgeous days. I hope you're savoring these days, because I don't think we'll have another week like this for a while, almost certainly not this year. I mean, well, you know, we'll have a couple of nice days, Indian summer days here and there, even in November, but a stretch like this? No, I don't think so. It's nice. By the way, it's a little breezy today if you haven't been outside yet. We didn't have that yesterday. In fact, several times yesterday I was out, it was pretty much a dead calm. Not today, a little breezy, but still very nice. Temperatures are already into the mid-60s, and just sunshine all over the place. Nice. Open talk to begin the program today. Our phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. We'll have guests later. We'll be chatting today with an orthopedic surgeon from Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. Dr. William Saar will join us. He specializes in foot and ankle surgery. And I don't know a whole lot about that. There was an NBA basketball player for the Boston Celtics who suffered a gruesome broken ankle, I guess dislocated, I don't know. And Dr. Saar, of course, is not the physician for that player, but I'm sure many of you have seen it on TV, video. Tough injury. Amazing how they can repair that sort of thing, huh? Well, we'll talk with Dr. Saar a little bit later on the program, and then we'll get information on an upcoming concert that's going to be staged at the Butler YMCA, a Simple Gifts concert coming up, part of the Active Older Adult program at the Y. And Dan Vernon Sr. and Dana Vernon will be here to tell us all about that a little bit later on the program. So that's what we have lined up for you today. Glad you could be with us. Open talk to begin with at 283-2525, 283-2525. I do want to mention one thing, because I started to talk about this earlier in the week when we had an open talk day, and I just didn't get to finish. And I wanted to thank Carl Jackson, a listener, who sent me an email earlier in the week. First of all, he was talking about the Ground Observer Corps back in, apparently they started way back in the 40s, 50s, and into the 60s. And these were volunteers who had observer stations all over the area, and they watched for planes in the Cold War. But Carl also had some information for us on train wheels and train axles, which we had been talking about actually for the past week or so, because of the old wheel works here in Butler, the west end of the city, no longer here anymore. So I wanted to mention something that Carl showed that I didn't even know about. I'd ask a silly question, I think, earlier in the week, and he answered it for me. But let's get to the people here. I don't want to keep anybody waiting any longer than we have to. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Thanks, caller, for waiting. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello, Dave.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. When do we turn the clocks back?
We turn the clocks back. Hang on a second till I grab my calendar here. We turn the clocks back on November the 5th. That's
okay.
The first Sunday in November, and it is 2 weeks from this Sunday.
Good. That's all I need to know.
So we have
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. 283-2525. So we have 2 weeks and a couple of days. 2 weeks and a couple of days before we turn the clocks back. Yeah, we have all next week and then the week after that. And then we turn them back on the first Sunday in November. And you know, it is hard to remember. It used to be standard procedure, and it was for years and years and years, it was always the same. We changed the clocks on the last Sunday in October, and I believe it was the last Sunday in April, right? And wasn't that the old system? And then they started tinkering with it. And Congress moved it, and they moved it again, and they moved it again. To be honest with you, I don't know when they finally came up with the current system. They expanded the daylight, because most folks like daylight savings time, daylight saving time. So they switched to it earlier, and they went back from it later. But don't ask me when that happened. It is hard to remember these days. I know. I feel for you. 283-2525 are our number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, David. I haven't called you for a long, long time.
Well, gosh,
it's good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear your voice, my friend.
And what my question is, I've been listening with great interest to the announcements today concerning the marijuana thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not picking on the Hartley brothers. They're involved in a legitimate business, according to law, so on and so forth. But my question is this. This has all been passed as being medical marijuana, yet if it's medical marijuana, why isn't it sold at a Walgreens or Rite Aid or something like that? Instead of that, we're having specialized places of business, and obviously this licensing business will be extremely, it'll be a commodity. A liquor license nowadays sells for, what, $250,000?
A lot, yeah.
That's the way this is going with the marijuana thing. With the outlet, the one that I've heard mentioned is, well, it's right down the street from the radio station there.
Yeah, it's right in front of Pullman Park, yeah.
Yeah. Why is it? It's kind of out of the way. If it's such a legitimate business, why isn't it up on Main Street? They could use the business. I have a lot of questions about this. Is this deeming it as a medical thing? Is that to just keep the old folks like me from getting upset about it? if it is medical, we've sure got some nice drug stores around town, plus Walmart and Giant Eagle, they have their pharmacy departments.
That's an interesting question that you posed. Let me tell you what I know about it, and I'm by no means I'm an expert. First of all, there are a limited number of conditions for which this would be approved. One of them is epilepsy. I know that off the top of my head, but there are a number of others, too. There have been some medical studies about epilepsy, particularly in young people, that can be aided greatly by marijuana use. Number two, this is not marijuana that you smoke. This is an oral form. I don't know whether it's a pill or exactly what, but I know you don't smoke it. It's oral form. You take it by mouth. And I think I read somewhere where doctors don't actually prescribe it. I mean, they don't write a prescription, but they okay it, I guess. You know, it seems like it's a little vague and not quite sure why. But I guess you need a doctor's note to go to one of these dispensaries and pick it up. And the only other thing that I can tell you, again, my knowledge is limited. I think that they chose the building was available. It was a jewelry making facility with the.
Yes, I know where the building is, David.
Yeah, and there's no windows. There's only one door, and I think that the fact that it was vacant and it lent itself to be very secure.
Well, I wasn't questioning the geography so much as this method of dispensing, and if it's medical, it should be at the drugstore.
I have no argument with that at all.
Drugstores all over town.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. makes you wonder.
I think it's a matter of solving the conscience of the local people. There'd be a lot of senior citizens like me that are hearing on the news every day how much money, well, today's news also on your station, there was talk about being awarded 700 new Narcan things for the county or mm-hmm. whatever it is mm-hmm. for the opium thing. And I know some of the drug forms that we have around now could be construed as a medical thing, but they are sold at the drugstore. I know there's a lot of black market on them, too, but that's an old Civil or World War II term, black market. But it just seems to me that we've gone around, come in the back door with that sort of thing, with this marijuana thing.
I've heard that. I've also heard some people say that it's the, you know, now that this is approved, it's a slippery slope toward total legalization of marijuana, recreational use marijuana.
I shouldn't say this, but as you mentioned a few minutes ago on your side of the conversation about the epilepsy, mm-hmm. I was just thinking, how many of these kids in their teens and their 20s all of a sudden have developed epilepsy?
I hear you.
There will be a lot of them.
There are a lot of questions about it. It'll be interesting to see the company that you mentioned, and it's two brothers from the Butler area
right.
who founded the company.
They're legitimate businessmen.
Sure.
I don't know them personally, but I know who they are and what they do, and they're legitimate people. And they already own the property out on 68 where the VA hospital was supposed to be, at least under the cover they do. I know that another gentleman did the purchasing, but he has since died. And my understanding from the underground talk is that it's the Hartley brothers who own it, and one of the brothers lives across the road from that property. It's just, and that has nothing to do with this thoughts that I'm having about the marijuana thing. I just, I think it's shady on the part of our lawmakers, whoever has cleared this situation. And as you used the term a minute ago, is this a slippery slope toward total legalization? And that'll become then, why not Altria or one of the other tobacco companies selling marijuana cigarettes over the counter, packed like tobacco cigarettes are, which is not a good thing at all that we've learned. And take this from somebody who once smoked, but learned better and gave it up many years ago. But if this is going to be that easy, you can bet we'll be having old gold marijuana cigarettes or whatever. It's just thoughts. I was wondering, maybe you'll get some calls on this subject. See what other people think about this, whether our lawmakers are coming in the back door on legalizing this or how it happened to be that we're going to have separate stores just for that. Are we going to have separate stores for the opiates that we, people with pain problems, and that's legitimate, go to the drugstore and get their prescription filled? Even those, legally, you can't go to the drugstore and get more than a 30-day supply. Other drugs, you can get a 90-day supply, but the opiate-type things, the oxycodone and so on, they don't want you to go to the drugstore and get them and then resell them. So you can only buy a 30-day supply at a time, and each time it takes a new prescription from the doctor. He can't issue a blanket prescription that even that you can just plain go back once a month. You have to have a new prescription every month. And I'm just awakening people's minds, see what they have to say. Maybe nobody cares.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts. It's always good to talk to you, my friend.
Nice to talk to you again, David.
Yes.
Peace be with you.
And with you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk. I agree with that gentleman. There are questions surrounding this. In fact, I don't think that Pennsylvania is anywhere close to full legalization of marijuana. I just don't. The way our current legislature is made up, I just don't see that happening. It took several years for our legislators to even craft this medical marijuana law. And even after it was approved, it's been a couple of years since they voted to approve it. So they have taken their time. And I do agree that it seems to be a strangely complex system to, have separate dispensaries that you can only get this, other places where it can be grown and processed. It's pretty strictly regulated. Now, will the number of licenses to do this expand? I have no idea. Does it depend on, the demand? I have no idea. And I am a little bit unclear on just how. I recall reading, at least to the best of my knowledge, that doctors wouldn't actually prescribe it, but they could okay it somehow. Now, what's the difference? I agree. It seems a little shaky, too. What's the difference? Maybe that's a protection for physicians. I have no idea. I have no idea. But the other important thing is medical marijuana is not smoked. It's taken orally. It's not the kind that you roll up into a cigarette and smoke. 283-2525 is the number. It's Open Talk on the program today, 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Hi. Nice to have you with us today. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah. About that medical marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I have things from now. It's just like I see a child running. And then maybe 5 years down the road, they'll do something different.
Well, that could be. There are some other things. Epilepsy is the one that I think really got this through the state legislature, because there were a number of parents who had young children who were epileptic, and they were driving to other states to get medical marijuana for their kids. But there are other conditions for which it's available. One of them is cancer. To help help relieve the pain of cancer patients. So there's a list of them. I think it's about a dozen different conditions for which you can be approved to get medical marijuana. I don't have the list in front of me right now, but
I talked to my doctor. This is a while back, and I got neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I qualified for it.
Yeah.
But, about that daylight savings time?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, they did another research on that. I think they say, you have to have lights on in the winter. You have bright lights in the winter.
Yeah, light therapy. I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah, they said that's gone. That's nonsense.
I don't know anybody who's ever done it. Do you?
I guess these people... I don't know if they get these massage things. You know what it is? Bright lights are supposed to cheer them up.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest research, they said, no, that's, just a bunch of nonsense.
Eyewash, huh? Balderdash.
And they said now, too, I see 10 cups of coffee a day is good for you.
Well, that'll keep you awake. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Light therapy, I've read about it several times. And I don't think it's just plain light, isn't it? And I don't know. Is it ultraviolet or something? I don't know much about that. Of course, the danger with some of those special kinds of light is, the same problem that you have with the tanning beds. You know, that's, for some people, out of bounds. So I don't, maybe it's just plain old lights, banks of lights that people sit in. My evidence is anecdotal. I know that in the wintertime, if it's a bright sunny day, I tend to feel more alive than if it's, the fifth straight day of gloom and dark and snow and everything. But is there any medical evidence to that effect? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, we have a tremendous difference in the amount of daylight. I figured it out one time. I don't have that here. I have that back at my desk. I think it's, if I remember correctly, I think it's about 6 hours difference in the amount of daylight that we have from the middle of December compared to the middle of June. I think we have about 6 hours less daylight per day, which is, that's a lot. Yeah. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. I could go with daylight saving time all year round, really. And I know some people hate it, but I like it. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. I'm calling about the young woman that met the airplane yesterday with her husband's body.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how the garbage man that sits behind the desk down in Washington, D.C. treated her. I think it's terrible. If that man has a vocabulary or a personality, it's a miracle. I cannot stand him. I see him on TV. When he comes on, I turn it off. I cannot stand his mouth. He's nothing but a garbage mouth. He cusses, he swears, he does not speak a language that a president should be speaking, and I don't think he has the vocabulary to do it either.
Well, there are
I think he's absolutely... The people that voted for that man knew what he was, and they put him in office. And if anybody voted for him, they deserve what they get. Just the way I feel about it.
No, it's fine. That's what we do here. I'm glad you called. I have mixed feelings about the issue. The congresswoman who apparently was with the grieving widow in her car.
And the driver and the chauffeur in that car heard him, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't just her. It was more than one person heard his conversation.
Oh, no.
And you can't believe anything he says. He stands up there at the podium and stands up there, and he lies, and 5 seconds later he's telling you he didn't say that.
Yeah, right.
You can't believe any word that man says. I don't believe anything he says. I think it's terrible. I never thought in my 83 years of my life that I would see a person like that sitting behind the desk in the White House. And only 37% of the American people voted for him. The other 77% didn't vote for him. So it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Do you think that Trump has a chance of being reelected president for a second
term?
Sure,
they'll put him in. That bunch of time there in Congress and that their electoral college, they'll put him back in office, definitely.
Hmm.
He's going to be just like George Bush and the other ones.
All right, my friend. Well, appreciate you sharing your thoughts with us. That's what we do on this program, so that's fine and dandy.
Well, that's the way I feel about it. I'm sorry, but I never thought I would see anybody sitting behind a desk like that guy is. And he's not there. 99.8% of the time, he is on the airplane and playing golf. And he cut President Obama up something terrible when he would go play golf even on a weekend. And this guy is never in the office.
I think I agree with you on that. That's obvious truth. The thing that hurts me most about Trump and Obama is that he, for years, claimed that Obama wasn't born in the United States. And, it's just a bald-faced
lie.
Yeah, and right. He persisted for years in saying that. And that's unconscionable.
That's right. It just wasn't right, really.
Yeah.
And Mr. Obama and Mrs. Obama spread so much love all over the world. They were for people, they talked to people, and they had a vocabulary that didn't stop. They knew how to speak and how to get along with people. And this guy cannot get along with himself. And it's a shame. He's put this country back 100 years since he's been in office in the 10 months that he's been in there.
Thanks,
we're back to a third world country right now.
Thanks, my friend, for your call. It's good to have you with us today.
Okay, thank you very much. Sure. Have a good day, Dave.
Sure. You too. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. People are sharply polarized about Trump. They're obviously that gentleman, extremely passionate in opposition. And there are, I've talked to people who are extremely passionate in favor of Trump. Still, despite, everything that's happened in the first 10 months that he's been in office. There are some things that are amazing. I know good people who are very much supportive of Trump. I know good people who are very much opposed to him. There are things that astound me, though. As close to 50% of the American population thinks that the news media makes things up about Trump. They make things up and put them on the air. And I mean, that's just, I don't get angry about it. I'm just astonished by it. I mean, I'm astonished. Now, if it's, National Enquirer or TMZ or some of those gossip networks, that's a different thing. I mean, that's their stock and trade. They make stuff off all the time. And of course, Trump quoted National Enquirer several times during his campaign. One of the things that make you shake your head and wonder. But a sizable percentage of Americans think that the news media, the mainstream news media, makes stories up about Trump. That's just astonishing to me. Are they slanted sometimes in one way or another? Well, I think that's pretty obvious that they are. But make-up stories? No. You know what the made-up stories are? The made-up stories are on social media. That's where the made-up stories are. And, man, if you're relying on that for your news, I feel sorry for you. I really do. Again, it doesn't necessarily make me angry. It's just very misguided. And, I mean, there are so many conspiracy theories and made-up stories on social media that it's astonishing. Please, don't rely on that for your news. And if you are paying attention to the mainstream media, well, then jump around a little bit, Don't constantly watch MSNBC and don't constantly watch Fox. Get some different viewpoints and then see what you think. 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. Open talk on this segment of the program today. And look, again, our time is almost running out. Ah, my goodness. I apologize to Carl. What he wrote me about was journal boxes, what he called journal boxes on train wheels. I had never heard of the term before, but that's the system, according to Carl, that they used before ball bearings, before they had ball bearings and railroad wheels. And apparently this was a device that you had to oil on a regular basis, which is why you had the conductors and the guys on the railroad with the long-stemmed oil cans. They went around oiling these wheels. We'll talk more about that if we get a chance, because it's a fascinating subject to me. But I do want to take our next call, 283-2525. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. You're on the air. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. Maybe you can educate me. I've heard you state several times that the medical marijuana is not for smoking. However, the research I do tends to disagree with that. I don't know if each state is different, but maybe we get an answer if it's not just an oral form, but I believe right now that it can be smoked.
Well, that your point about different regulations in each state may be the critical factor there, because I know that every state makes its own regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can't see... one of the big high-profile things that got this passed in Pennsylvania were these young kids who were suffering from epilepsy, and their moms were taking them to, Michigan and other states to get medical marijuana. Surely you wouldn't have these young kids smoking.
No, I would not Right, and but that would be an oral medication. However, I think we need some clarification on whether or not the dispensaries will be dispensing smokable marijuana.
Let me check that out with the specific reference to Pennsylvania. And if I can find out anything definitive, we'll talk about it here on the program.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for bringing up the question, my friend. It's a good one. Thanks very much. Thanks. Okay, take a quick break here because we're scheduled to chat with our first guest today, and I'm looking forward to talking with Dr. William Saar, orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon. He's going to be with us next on the It's Your Turn program here today. One of our sponsors on the program is Jones Turkey Farm. They're local. I'm sure some of you, many of you, have already dealt with the Jones Turkey Farm. They're in Cabot on Jones Road, so it's easy to remember. Jones Road in Cabot, and that's pretty close to about anywhere around here if you're listening to my voice. Here's the deal. At Jones Turkey Farm, they offer all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens. Their birds are handled with extreme care. They are specifically fed non-GMO grain. That's genetically modified. Non-GMO grain. They are preservative-free. They are additive-free. And a lot of folks these days are worried about that. You can buy your turkey frozen, if that's the way you prefer, or you can get it fresh right before the big holiday meal. They can help you out either way. The owner is Dave Jones, and Dave Jones stakes his reputation on his turkeys being the best in western Pennsylvania. I've had them. They are delicious. If you've never had natural free-roaming turkeys or chickens, wonderful, wonderful, tasty. Give you a phone number here if you want to put an order in. It's not too early to do that. Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, 724-352-2450, 352-2450. You can order one today, or you can go online at jonesturkeyfarm.com to learn more. Jones Turkey Farm, Jones Road in Cabot, quite simply, the best. We'll be back to talk with Dr. Saar in just a couple of minutes.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus,
we're going your way.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Do you have an Amazon Echo, Tap, or Dot in your home? If you do, you can load the new Butler Radio News skill and get the latest local news, sports, and weather from Alexa anytime you want. The Butler Radio News skill is the area's only skill to offer local news, sports, and weather. To get the skill, open your Alexa app, search for Butler Radio News, and enable the skill. It's that simple. Alexa, what's in the news?
From the Butler Radio Network, here is the latest news.
The Butler Radio Network is proud to be a leader in providing up-to-date local content to you on the devices you use, on your radio, your computer or tablet, your smartphone, and now on your Amazon Alexa device.
Welcome back, friends. I've been looking forward to chatting with our next guest on the It's Your Turn program today. He is Dr. William Saar. Dr. Saar is an orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon. It says, Dr. Saar, first of all, welcome. Nice to have you with us on the program.
Thank you.
It says after your name, William E. Saar, D.O. What do those initials stand for?
That's a doctor of osteopathy.
Okay. I'm glad I asked. I think I might have guessed wrong.
No, that's okay. So I guess to give you a background, there's essentially two types of physicians in the United States. There's MDs, which are allopathic doctors, and there's DOs that are osteopathic doctors. Pretty much all with similar training. DOs get a little bit of extra training in manipulation and things like that. But, yeah, essentially those are the two types of physicians we have.
Dr. Saar, listeners, is with Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. In fact, he's been with them for several years now. I think, what, 2011 you joined Tri-Rivers, sir?
About 7 years here, and I was in practice in Cleveland for about 11 years before that.
Well, I have a bunch of questions about the foot and the ankle and what medicine can do with it today. But
sure.
if you wouldn't mind, I want to start out with something that I'm sure many of our listeners have seen on TV over the past couple of days, really a horrific-looking incident involving a pro basketball player for the Boston Celtics who came down wrong on his foot and he had a horrible, I think I read it was a dislocated ankle and a broken tibia.
Correct.
The video was, it was really hard to look at.
Very hard to watch.
I am astonished to think that physicians today, people like you, are able to repair that man's ankle and leg, and they're talking about, I mean, it's going to be a while, but they're talking about him playing pro basketball again.
Correct, yes. It's pretty amazing what we can do these days. I mean, he had a very horrific injury, and from the look of it, I have never obviously seen his x-rays, but it sounds like he definitely broke the distal tibia bone, which is one of the bones that articulates with the ankle, and you can clearly see by the pictures the dislocation and the deformity that he had. So, but it's a fairly straightforward surgery, and you know, he does have the risk of developing some arthritis in that joint down the line, but it's pretty amazing how quickly we can get some of these athletes back on the court.
The ankle is, and I'll give you pretty much the sum total of my knowledge about,
okay.
about the ankle in about 30 seconds. I know it's a different joint from a lot of other joints in the body. For example, the hip is it's a ball and socket, but the
correct.
Ankle is really just a whole bunch of bones that's kind of held together with ligaments, isn't it?
Correct. I mean, there's essentially three bones involved. There's the tibia bone, which is the main bone that runs from the knee down, and then the fibula bone, which also runs on the outside of the leg from the knee down. Those two bones come together, and then there's what's called the talus bone, which is the bone that sits inside the ankle joint. And those three bones kind of form the ankle joint itself. And its stability is offered not just by the bones, but also many ligaments that kind of surround the ankle, both the front, back, and the sides, that give it its inherent stability.
When a person gets a sprained ankle, I know once when I was a kid, that happened to me, and I'll tell you what, even just talking about it, it almost brings tears to my eyes. I was on a camping trip. I was in Cook Forest State Park.
Right.
It was in the evening. It was almost dark, and I jumped off a log and twisted my ankle. You know, just came down on it crooked. Man, it swelled up. It hurt like crazy, mm-hmm. and I must have broken it in about five different places. Doctor, mm-hmm. the next morning I woke up, I was fine.
Yeah,
I was fine. It was like a miracle.
Yeah, sprains are pretty common, and what's interesting, it's sometimes hard to determine the difference between a sprain and a break. But sprains are probably one of the more common injuries we see, both with athletes and even the general population. But usually when you turn your ankle like that, you're going to tear some of the ligaments on the outside of your ankle, and it usually causes this big goose egg and swelling to show up on the outside of the ankle. But normally if the x-rays are negative, a brief period of ice and immobilization followed by some therapy usually does the trick, and patients are typically able to get back to most of their routine.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that you see in your practice there with the Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, because most of us are not NBA basketball players, so we're not going to have to worry about that.
Right.
What about plantar fasciitis? Do you see? Wait a minute, I'm mispronouncing that. Am I
yep.
not?
Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. Fasciitis, okay.
Fasciitis. It's probably one of the most common things we see in a foot and ankle practice. This is your typical heel pain. The patients will wake up with, and the first few steps in the morning, they'll complain of heel discomfort. And most patients, when they present, they'll say that they have heel pain when they get up in the morning or when they get up from a seated position, and it usually will last for a couple minutes until they can stretch it out, and then sometimes the pain starts to minimize a little bit. But patients will present with that often. If it lasts several months and it's not getting better with some of the conservative measures, that's when they come to see us.
And how do you treat plantar fasciitis?
Typically, most patients are able to be treated conservatively. The key to treatment for plantar fasciitis is usually stretching. The better you stretch the heel cord, which involves the Achilles tendon, and also the plantar fascia, which is a structure that runs on the bottom of the foot. The more you stretch that, typically the better this will get, but you often will associate that with icing techniques, taking anti-inflammatories, wearing good shoes, heel cups. There's also devices that you can wear called a night splint that you can buy at stores. It keeps your foot stretched out at nighttime, because one of the things that happens when you sleep is the muscles in the back of your calf are stronger than the muscles in the front of your leg. And so when you sleep, you tend to sleep with your foot pointing downward.
Hmm.
And that tends to tighten up these structures. And that's why it hurts the first thing in the morning, because when you get up, you're stretching it so quickly, you get little micro tears in the tissue, and that's what causes the pain. So
that makes sense. Easy to visualize. What causes it? Is it simply a matter of the longer a person lives, the better chance you have of developing this?
Well, not necessarily. We see it in all ages. I mean, and sometimes we don't even really have a good understanding of why it happens. We see it often in runners and patients who have very good calf musculature, again, for the same reasons we talked about before. But even patients who aren't runners sometimes can develop discomfort in that area. Some patients will come in with history of trauma. They may have, you know, stepped down on the foot wrong, or they may have hit their heel against something. But for the most part, a lot of patients come in and it just starts kind of out of the blue.
So this is more a ligament or a muscle problem as opposed to, and this may be a common layperson's term, a heel spur. That's something totally different, right?
Well, they're somewhat related. So what happens is it is the soft tissue. It's the plantar fascia that runs from the heel all the way to the toes, and it's called fascia. It's a soft tissue variant. But what happens is, you know, the more time goes on and if you have a lot of inflammation, sometimes the body tries to, I guess, heal the problem by laying down, you know, inflammatory markers and tissues and things like that, and sometimes a spur will develop. But I try to tell patients I don't focus as much on the spur, because usually if you can stretch the tissue out and get the inflammation under control, most of the symptoms will go away. And I oftentimes will tell patients as well that we could take many patients off the street and take x-rays of their feet, and a lot of them will have a heel spur and have no complaints of any significant pain.
Hmm.
So, again, we don't really focus too much on the spur. Now, occasionally patients will come to the office and have an x-ray that shows a very, very large, large spur. And mechanically, that can cause symptoms. But in general, most patients who have heel pain, if you address the soft tissue, most of the time their symptoms will dissipate.
Is a spur, in fact, a growth on the bone?
It is. It's actually an extension of a spur, where it's basically the deposition of bone right on the bottom of the heel.
Hmm. Fascinating. Okay, let's talk about some other stuff.
Because sure, sure.
I know that plantar fasciitis is pretty common these days. I know a couple of people in my circle of acquaintances who have had it. What about somebody who has flat feet? I can remember reading a story about, I think it was a Hollywood actor back in the World War II era, and someone asked him, you know, why he wasn't in the service. He did some other stuff, by the way.
Yep.
but he said he had tremendously flat feet, and the Army wouldn't take him. So what's
right.
What's flat feet anyway?
Well, so the big issue with flat feet to determine is, some patients are just born with flat feet, and it's nothing they did wrong, and it's no injury. It's just the fact that they have somewhat of a flat arch or a flat foot, and oftentimes it doesn't even cause any symptoms. We get lots of patients who come in with young children and adolescents who have flat feet, and they have no symptoms, and so we usually just recommend a good supportive shoe and just kind of monitor the situation. The more concerning issue is when someone has a normal arch, you know, for most of their life, and then they come in the ages of 30s, 40s, 50s, and say, you know, my arch is starting to go away. I'm starting to develop a flat foot. That usually indicates that something else is progressively worsening, and it's usually one of the tendons that runs on the inside of the ankle. It starts to break down, starts to get weak, and its main job is to hold the arch up. So as it starts to deteriorate, the arch starts to collapse, and patients start to develop symptoms.
Should you be careful about trying to keep your shoes for 15 or 20 years? Could worn-out shoes lead to problems with your arch?
They could. You should probably, especially if you have a flat foot, you should probably consider having shoes, getting a new pair of shoes every couple of years or so. I wouldn't necessarily go 15 years without a new pair of shoes. And the other thing is to consider potentially using some arch supports or orthotics, and those are available both as a prescription with custom-made orthotics, and they also have over-the-counter orthotics available as well.
I was exaggerating with the 15 years, but you knew what I meant. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Every couple of years, you want to just keep a close eye on it.
So I wonder why the Army, why the military, Maybe they still do. I don't know. Why would they reject someone with a flat foot if it's not a real problem?
Yeah, well, I think I'm not really sure where they came up with those things. I'm sure that there's hopefully some people serving that have flat feet and are able to do so, because there's many people who can function at a very high level with a flexible flat foot, especially if it doesn't cause any symptoms. But, yeah, the concern is more when you develop a flat foot after a certain amount of time.
How do you diagnose that? But listeners, if you joined us a little bit late, if you just got in the car, first of all, welcome. My name is Dave Malarkey, and our guest on this segment of It's Your Turn is William Saar. Dr. Saar is a foot and ankle surgeon with the Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. By the way, do patients have to be referred to you by a PCP or somebody else, or can they?
I think that would really it depends on their insurance company. Some insurances require patients to have a referral, and I think other insurances, patients can call directly and make appointments directly with us.
Okay, so it would vary from person to person.
Correct.
How do you diagnose someone who has a flat foot? Do you just say, take off your shoes and socks and stand there and let me look at you? Can you do it that simply?
Well, sure. You can do a physical examination. Patients, when they come in to see me, obviously will do a physical examination, look at their foot, see if they truly do have a flat foot. And one of the things that we're trying to ascertain is, is the foot flexible? Do they have pain, and where is the pain centered? And then we usually will get an x-ray, a weight-bearing x-ray, to kind of look at the alignment of the bones. And if we start to see some of the relationships that are supposed to be there that aren't, that gives us a hint that some of these tendons might not be working the way they should. We usually at that point would start with a conservative treatment option with, again, orthotics or maybe some bracing, some therapy. And then if symptoms continue, we would often order an MRI or something to evaluate the tendons to see how bad they truly are.
Any problem with people running around a lot barefoot? Could that lead to problems in the future?
It can, especially if you start to develop pain, or like I said, if you've had an arch in the past and then you develop a flattening of your arch, you really probably shouldn't be running around barefoot, because it just puts that much more stress on those tendons and on those joints in what's called the midfoot area.
Hmm. We're talking with Dr. William Saar. Okay, this is the bonus question for an extra 25 points.
Okay.
There's a lot of joint replacement these days.
Correct.
Knee replacement is quite common. There's even something called partial knee replacement these days. I've talked about that with one of your colleagues, Dr. Thomas Muzanigro.
Yes.
So there's full knee replacement, partial knee, hip replacement. I just had an acquaintance who, in fact, I had two acquaintances of mine who have had hip replacements. What about ankle? It seems like a rather complex joint, as you were describing it a few moments ago. Is there, in fact, such a thing as an ankle replacement, or is that not available yet?
There is. I've been doing ankle replacements now probably for about 15 or 16 years.
Oh.
Ankle replacements are not as well known, obviously, as hip replacements and knee replacements, but they have definitely come a long way. I mean, when they first started back probably in the mid-70s, late 70s, they really did not have a good track record. They wouldn't last very long, and at one point, I think it was really questioned whether or not we should continue doing them. But there's been multiple generations now of ankle replacements that have been designed, and they're doing much better at this point. I just did one yesterday, and I think the patient will do very, very well. But we try to at least get a good 15, 20 years out of the ankle replacement, if at all possible. And it is a complex joint. It's not necessarily the same approach that we would do with a hip or a knee replacement. Hips and knees, patients who go through those surgeries are going to be weight-bearing the next day. We get them up and get them moving. With ankle replacements, they're typically going to be non-weight-bearing. Depends on the actual implant that you use, because there's multiple ones on the market. But most of the ankle replacements, you'll be non-weight-bearing for a brief period of time, for a few weeks or so, until we feel confident that it's healing, and then we would start range of motion and therapy and things as such. But it's actually come a long way, and they've actually been providing patients with a lot of relief. Not that everyone's a candidate for an ankle replacement, but it's definitely an option for some patients who have arthritis.
Without getting into too much detail, is the general principle the same? I know with a knee replacement, you replace the, and again, I'm using layperson's verbiage here, you replace the ends of the bones that come together. Same general thing in the ankle? You put implants on the ends of the bones?
Correct. Similar concept. You basically take out the arthritic bones. And we talked about the tibia bone and the talus bone. Those are the two main bones that you replace. And then in between the metal components, there's usually some type of plastic-type interface that you put in between there to kind of serve as the, I guess, a cushion so they can maintain their motion and not have the bone grinding on the bone, which causes the pain.
What about arthritis? Most people, I think, if you think of arthritis, you say, okay, well, maybe your fingers or your hands or some other part of the body. Is arthritis in your area, in the foot and the ankle, is that common? Do you see that a lot?
Absolutely. Probably one of the most common things we see. And if you think about the way the structure of the foot and ankle, there's so many different joints in the foot and ankle that all of them have the propensity of developing arthritis. So it's a very, very common problem.
In 25 words or less, what is arthritis anyway?
So arthritis is when you basically lose that interface, the cartilage that's, you know, is in between the ends of the bone start to deteriorate over time. And when you start to lose that cartilage, the bone starts to grind on the bone, and that's what causes the pain.
Mm-hmm. And is it inflammation that can, you know, be seen on an X-ray or an MRI or something?
So what you'll do on an X-ray, when, you know, normally a joint will have a space in between the bones, and it's that cartilage that's making that space up. So as you start to see an X-ray that loses the space, it tells us that the cartilage is starting to diminish. So you would be able to see it on an X-ray. And then on exam, they typically will have, patients will have inflammation because that's the body's natural response. You're going to get inflammatory markers and things like that and tissue that forms around these arthritic joints.
Can you, are there a number of protocols for arthritis in the foot and the ankle? I'm thinking, for example, of those shots that you can get in your knee, rooster
Correct.
Shots or something like that.
Yeah. Well, at this point, the FDA has only approved, as far as I know, those types of shots in the knee. Theoretically, you may be able to get some in the ankle and foot, but at this point, they're not FDA approved. So most of the shots that we do for arthritic conditions in the foot and ankle are still the standby cortisone shots. And when we start talking about treatment, not all joints in the foot and ankle can be replaced. So we typically can replace the ankle joint and we can replace the big toe joint, but most of the other joints in the foot and ankle, if there's a treatment option surgically, it's going to be a fusion.
Mm. Listeners, we have a few more minutes that were in our allotted time with the Dr. Saar, and I have a couple of more things I really want to ask him about. Got
sure.
to take a quick break here, though, so let's
okay.
do that, and we'll pick up our conversation with the doctor here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
On average, humans walk 100,000 miles during the course of their lives. So it makes sense our feet and ankles may suffer wear and tear. Doctors William Saar and Christopher Edwards of the foot and ankle team at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers diagnose and treat numerous injuries and conditions to help get you back on your feet. Their approach to orthopedic foot and ankle care offers a wide range of conservative to surgical treatment options. To learn more, visit TriRiversMSK.com. Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers partner with the Butler community for more than 20 years.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking with Dr. William Saar. Dr. Saar is an orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon. He practices with the Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. Next question, bunions.
Yep.
First of all, what is a bunion? I'm sure a lot of people use that word without knowing perhaps exactly what it means.
Sure. A bunion is, you know, we look at it as a deformity, obviously, that happens typically around the great toe. And usually what's really going on, people sometimes think it's a growth, and it's not really a growth or a mass. It's basically the movement of a couple bones that make up the big toe.
Hmm.
And as the bones tend to move more, the deformity becomes more prominent and usually becomes more symptomatic.
I see. What do? Realign the bones?
You can. I mean, from a treatment standpoint, we always try to do conservative measures first. And so oftentimes we have patients maybe change their shoes styles. Unfortunately, in our country, most bunions that we see are going to be with women. And unfortunately, some of that's secondary to the shoe wear that they choose. So wearing a real tight, tight, high heel shoe for years and years can sometimes cause these deformities to become more prevalent and more symptomatic. So just as basic stuff as changing your shoes may be beneficial, and then they do sell things over the counter with bunion splints and ice and anti-inflammatory. But if patients have gone through those measures and are not really getting improvement, there are surgical procedures that we can do to help realign the bone by cutting the bone and shifting the bone and then also balancing some of the soft tissue.
I'd like to get a hold of the guys who decided that high-heeled shoes made a woman look sexy and that they should wear them. They should make those idiots wear high-heeled shoes. Oh. They look so painful to me. I can't believe it.
You know what's even incredible? If you ever were able to take an x-ray of someone wearing a high-heel shoe and see that the amount of stress that it puts on the actual joints, it's pretty incredible.
Hmm. Okay, here's another common term that probably, at least some people, don't understand. Hammer toe.
Yes. So hammer toes are the lesser digits, 2 through 5, and the reason it gets the name hammer toe is just the appearance of the toe itself. And usually when patients are developing hammer toes, again, some of it goes back to bad choices in shoe wear. Sometimes patients who actually develop bunions can develop hammer toes as a secondary result of that because they're not properly loading their foot when they walk, and so they put too much pressure on the lesser digits or the second through fifth toe, and sometimes these deformities happen because of that as well.
We have a problem in our society. In fact, I'm reading that obesity is becoming a problem in many other cultures as well, not just in the United States, but we have a problem with it. It's pandemic, really. And I can't help but think that obesity is going to eventually lead to problems with your feet and ankle. I mean, it's just the way the human body is built, right?
Right. It's a matter of stress. And so the foot and ankle is designed to handle some great forces, but if we start getting to the point where our body is morbidly obese or has so much weight, that's just way too much stress that those joints can handle. So,
I've seen people, we all have, who are, you know, really grossly overweight, and I mean, it's almost painful to watch them walk. I imagine it has to be painful for them.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And then we start talking about those tendons that sometimes can lead to a flat foot. Think about the stress that gets exerted on those tendons and muscles across the ankle joint.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one problem that leads to another, and it becomes a vicious cycle.
By the way, this just occurred to me. There was a kid in my high school class. He was a good kid. He was a smart kid. But his feet, and this was very obvious when he's, you know, he'd be out in the exercise yard with him or whatever. His feet pointed outwards.
Okay.
You know, when he was standing, instead of his feet pointing straight ahead, they pointed outwards. I don't know whether that's it. You know, like some sort of a birth deformity or what? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever seen that?
Well, a lot of times, you know, sometimes people are born with congenital defects and they can have abnormalities in a foot and ankle. And it's a common place to see those types of things. But the other issue is when their toes are pointing outward, again, that's more of into a flat foot situation. So, again, we start talking about can they have a genetic deformity with a flat foot deformity. And there's also other deformities that can cause to rotation of the leg itself. Sometimes you'll see deformities in the foot and ankle, but it's actually coming from higher up in the leg or the knee or the hip sometimes.
What about nerve problems in the feet? Our time begins to run short here, but you have a condition that you sometimes see called neuroma. I'm guessing from the prefix that it has something to do with the nerves.
It does. So a neuroma is basically an enlargement of one of the nerves, or actually there's several nerves across through the foot into the toes. And occasionally those nerves can get inflamed and swollen, and people sometimes thought of it as a tumor, and it's not really a tumor per se, it's just the inflammatory condition of a nerve that gets trapped under one of the ligaments, and that can cause patients to have pain in the foot and also numbness and tingling into the toes.
Mm-hmm. What happens when your foot falls asleep? You're sitting in the recliner watching a football game or something, and you drift off and you wake up and your foot's asleep. What is that?
It's just basically irritation of one of the, you know, some of the nerves that kind of cross through the knee and into the ankle itself. So if you put yourself in a position where that nerve gets stretched or gets pinched, it's just like your hand falling asleep or when you bump your elbow. Same kind of condition. The nerve just gets irritated from the position that it's in or from direct pressure.
I've also had that condition sometimes where it becomes almost a I'm trying to describe it, almost like a cramp, you know, like your foot will freeze in a certain position.
Right.
Very painful, again, by the way.
It can be, and sometimes that could be the nerve, but if you start getting, you know, lots of cramping in your foot and it doesn't seem to go away, that's something that you probably should talk to your doctor about to make sure that you've got good enough blood flow getting into your foot and that your electrolytes are all in balance as well.
Mm-hmm. Or quit falling asleep in the recliner while you're watching the football game.
Correct.
One other thing, we're headed into the bad weather season. I don't want to be the first one to ever mention snow and ice, but I've got to because I'm sure that many of the patients that you treat, Dr. Saar, have been injured, you know, when they fell going down the porch steps or the sidewalk or the driveway or something like that because of snow and ice.
Absolutely. It's you know, It's one of our busiest times of year. When this kind of weather hits, I get very, very busy with broken ankles, broken heels, broken feet, and broken toes. So just to be careful and watch out for those things. Make sure you're wearing good shoes and be careful and cognizant of your surroundings.
Tell us a little bit about your practice, Dry Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers.
Yes, well, very large practice. We're a multi-specialty physician practice. I think at last count, I think we've got 23 doctors, 13 of which are orthopedic surgeons. I think we have two primary care sports medicine doctors, six PM&R physicians, and two rheumatologists. So we have quite a few physicians. We have 20 advanced practice providers who help us significantly and a full staff. We are a basically a joint venture, too, between UPMC and Butler Health System. So mm-hmm. one of the benefits from that is it allows us to take pretty much all patients with all major insurance carriers. That includes both UPMC and Highmark. So we really are in a good position in this area to provide care for a lot of patients in Butler and the surrounding areas.
Do you yourself, Dr. Saar, have a primary clinical site?
I operate, actually, the places that I operate is UPMC Cranberry and also Butler Health System at the main hospital, and I have office locations in Cranberry, Slippery Rock, and also here in Butler, here at the Clearview Mall.
And finally, what about insurance? Does Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal work with most major insurers?
We do. That's one of the benefits. Even though, like I said, we're a joint venture between UPMC and Butler, we're able to take essentially pretty much all major insurance carriers, and that's one of the benefits with our practice, that some patients, unfortunately, in western Pennsylvania, the insurance market has been somewhat difficult for many patients to deal with. But one thing that's nice about UPMC, about Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, we're able to take pretty much everything that comes our way.
Dr. William Saar, listeners, by the way, his last name is spelled S-A-A-R, if you're looking for him. Dr. William Saar, he is an orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon with the Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. I don't think I've ever learned as much in a half an hour as I have in the past half hour, Dr. Saar. That was very informative.
Well, good. Yeah. Excellent. Good.
Very informative. Nice to talk with you, sir.
Nice to talk to you, too. Thank you for having me.
Sure, sure. So long now.
Okay. Take care now.
Yeah, that's a nice doctor, huh? Yeah. Knowledgeable, that's for sure. Okay, we have more to come here on the It's Your Turn program. We're going to take a break here. Tomorrow, open talk. What else do we have tomorrow? Oh, we're going to be talking about a true story from a woman in Canada who had a very unusual, bizarre childhood. She and her brother, both little kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, every so often their mother would pack them up and they would go somewhere. And she was told for many, many years that they were on the run from the mafia, a Canadian mob. Turned out to be untrue. It's a fascinating story. The story is true. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Pauline Dakin. And we're also going to be talking about cancer tomorrow with a woman who's written a guidebook for dealing with this disease for cancer survivors, for their family members, their friends. It's very informative, quite a source book. That's on tomorrow's program. Coming up, we're going to be talking about simple gifts. No, it's not ideas for the holidays. It's music. Simple Gifts, a program coming up at the Y, the Butler County Family YMCA. Guests Dana Vernon and Dan Vernon Sr. will tell us all about it. It's coming up on the It's Your Turn program in just a moment or so.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
The Knock Knights will look to get back on the winning track this Friday night when they host the Ambridge Bridgers. Hi everyone, this is Scott Breeze inviting you to join Dave Bacon and me as Knock hosts Ambridge Friday night in Saxonburg. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with the coaches show. 6:45, we're live at the stadium for a 7 o'clock kickoff. It's Knock at Ambridge Friday night, and it's all presented on WISR in part by Slippery Rock University, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, Robert Stevens Custom Jewelers, by the Butler Health System Faster Care, by Butler County District Attorney Rich Goldinger, United Plate Glass in Butler, Kelly's Restaurant in downtown Saxonburg, the law firm of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter & Graham, the United States Air Force, and the John W. Thrower Cement Corporation of Saxonburg. It's Knock Football as the Knights take on Ambridge Friday night right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
Welcome back, folks. One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today, Cummings Candy and Coffee Shop. Main Street, downtown Butler. Everybody knows where Cummings is, right? They've been there for a century. I'm serious, yeah. That's a family business serving the Butler community since 1905, and they've been at that current location under the red and white awning for 100 years. Pretty amazing. That wonderful place inside, too. They now have two more locations, in case you didn't know that. There's Cummings at Butler Memorial Hospital, and the newest location, Cummings West, on Route 68, Evans City Road, right on the outskirts of town, toward the farm show. We mention Cummings because we're getting closer and closer to the holidays now, and a great idea for corporate gifts is gift boxes from Cummings. Many, many companies use them to get gifts for their clients. You can choose from an assortment of different items, chocolate-covered chips or pretzels, graham crackers, cherry cordials. You can add a half-pound bag of Butler's own proprietary blend of coffee, the Main Street Roast. Tasty, tasty. Roasted right at the Main Street location of Cummings. By the way, for more information on those corporate orders for holiday gifts, call Barry Cummings. Phone number is 724-287-3287. 287-3287. They're open 7 days a week. And, oh, yes, the peanut brittle is available now. They don't always have it, but when they have it, it'll make you confess to sins you didn't commit, I guarantee you. It is fabulous. The peanut brittle, now available at Cummings. Well, we welcome our next guest into the studio with us here today, and perhaps I'll even get the names correctly this time. Who knows? Dick Vernon. Dick Vernon is here. I was laughing so hard when I went out into the lobby to greet them and say hello because I just ran into you guys.
Oh,
it was
a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Within the past week. And now it's great to be able to talk with you today. Dick Vernon and Dana Vernon, too. Dana, good to see you.
Great to be here.
How do you put up with this guy all the time?
Oh, it's been a real blast.
He is one of my favorite jokesters. In fact, that's the first thing. When I bumped into you at the bank a couple of days ago, that's the first thing I mentioned was your pride and joy joke, which I remember to this day. That's got to be, I don't know, how many years ago you gave me one of those cards.
Dave, before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little love story that involves WISR.
Oh, okay? Great.
Dan, I don't know this is coming. Well, back in the early 50s, WISR had Gene Brice and Bob Kaufman and Warren Eilenfeld on the air, I remember. And in the mornings, they had some live radio shows of country music. And it just so happened to be, I was involved in one of the bands, and I played bass. And I ended up singing a love song. It was Somebody Loves You, was the name of it. And I dedicated it to a little girl out in Cabot, Pennsylvania, by the name of Dana Lewis.
Oh, my.
And guess what happened?
One thing led to another.
She's now Dana Vernon.
That was 64 years ago.
I had to pass that on to you.
Oh, that's a great story.
She didn't know that was coming.
So you dedicated it here on the air on WISR.
Huh? Yeah. And we've been married a long time. I worked it out. It was 33,315,480 minutes at our last anniversary.
I'm sure you worked it out, too.
That relates to 63 years.
Oh, my.
I'll be quiet now and turn it over to Dan.
No, please don't, because I'd love to talk to you guys. There's an event coming up.
Yes, there
and,
is.
And that's what we want to talk about, what we want to concentrate on today. Dana, fill us in on the details.
Well, it's a concert. It's called Simple Gifts Music Event, and it's at the Butler YMCA. Mm-hmm. It's on October 24th, and it starts at 11 a.m.
That's next Thursday.
Week from today.
Week from today, yeah.
Yeah, and ukulele, and Dick tells me I'm not saying that right, but I say ukulele. It's a ukulele and sports workshop. Then they're having a Simple Gifts concert at 12 o'clock, and from 1 to 15, they're having a post-concert workshop, and it sounds like a lot of fun. They're going to show you how to play the ukulele and the spoons, and they play 12 different instruments. These ladies must be amazing. I've not heard them, but they must be amazing.
Now, this is going to take place right at the Y?
Right at the Y.
Right. And it's open to the public, too.
And it's open to the public.
And they told us they have people from Johnstown coming. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much are tickets?
None.
Free.
It's free.
It's a free concert.
Yep.
It's oh, my.
Best kind.
And they would like, if you're coming, they want you to call the Y, sign up by October 24th. And I'll just give the phone number now, and then we'll give it a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
It's 724-287-4733. Then they're on 339 North Washington Street, in case there's somebody in Butler that doesn't know where they're located. But they're down near Washington Street. And they're remodeling. And my gosh, you should see. It is absolutely beautiful down there. We were down yesterday, and they have this beautiful, beautiful new lobby. Oh, it's just gorgeous.
So. I'm about to get an update on that. I have... we're still trying to arrange a date with a representative of the Y fill us in on when that's going to be completed and what it's going to look like and so on and so forth. But this concert, 1 week from today, and it's, there's a workshop in the late morning and then the concert in the early afternoon, right?
No, it's 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock is a workshop, and then 12 o'clock is a concert.
Oh,
at noon. It's right
okay.
at noon.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
And then after that, they're having a post-concert workshop.
You familiar with the correct pronunciation of ukulele?
I had a gentleman, coincidentally, it was just this year, who told me about that, Dan Folkt.
He
plays one. In fact, he's extremely versatile on
He plays pedal steel guitar, I do, too.
Yeah, yeah. But everybody here says ukulele.
They do, but over in Hawaii it's called ukulele.
Yeah.
Ukulele.
Ook is the hard part for me to remember.
Me too.
Yeah,
ook. Ook. But Dan was, he was very demonstrative. He said, hey, listen, this is the way it's supposed to be pronounced. That's the way he says it,
by the way. Do you remember Arthur Godfrey?
I know who he was. I never saw
him. He played the ukulele, and he brought it out in the forefront, and I guess they sold, I think it was 9 million ukuleles that year. When he brought it out and made it popular.
He had a mid-morning show that was similar to like Johnny Carson later on or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's way back in the early days of TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
And spoons is a fascinating thing, too. A lot of people never heard of them, heard of spoons or what they are. They're a percussion instrument, and a lot of Appalachian people would get together with maybe a fiddle player, and somebody play a jug, and somebody play spoons, and somebody play a washboard.
Hmm.
But spoons, there's a guy around town, Washboard Tony. Maybe you've heard of him.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has like a one-man band.
Yeah, and he plays spoons. So any of you people who don't know what spoons are all about, you'll see Washboard Tony play them when he's out appearing a lot of different places.
He appears quite a lot. He was down at the farm market last Saturday morning.
I saw him. I've seen him in a couple of different places. He was at the farm show. I saw him performing one year.
Probably. He plays with the Methodist Church, God's Country, down there. He plays the drums for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's an amazing
Very
guy.
Talented guy.
Yeah,
A lot more than what, when you hear about a one-man band, you might have this image in your mind and not realize what a talented musician this guy is.
Yeah.
You say that you've not seen Simple Gifts yet, Dana?
No, I haven't. We've looked them up on the Internet, of course. Dick's the Internet guy, and he pulls up all that stuff. So we've seen them on the Internet. They've entertained all over the place, even New York, I don't know if it was New York City, and all over the place. But they're coming to Butler, and they're all really excited about it. And actually, this is for the active older adult group at the Butler YMCA, which Dick and I are members of. And we became members a couple years ago. And just when they first started it, now we're on the committee. So we got nominated to come down and talk to Dave Mullarkey and tell him about the Simple Gifts music concert.
I have seen Simple Gifts in concert.
Have you?
Have you really?
Really?
I have,
wow.
Yes. They are excellent. I saw them some years. They've been together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I saw them, I'm pretty sure it was a trio.
They have a trio, but there's two of them coming.
Oh, okay. So, well, that explains it then. I thought maybe, for a minute, I thought maybe it was another group that I saw, because I remember I saw them as a
There's another young lady with them I saw on the Internet there, but there's just the two of them. And that is, let's see, their name is, I'm not picking them up right now.
Oh, it's Karen Hershon. Yeah, that's definitely the
Linda Littleton and Karen Hershon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I am a devotee of folk music and acoustic and singer-songwriters. That's my favorite. If it's the end of a long, hard day or a long, hard week, that's what I slap into the CD player and enjoy. And so, yes, I have seen them, and they do a lot of good. They play a wide variety of different, you know, when you say folk music, that gives the wrong impression to a lot of people. I mean, they're thinking of, you know, like Hang Down Your Head, Tom Dooley, and the Kingston Trio or something like that, or even some wacko groups in the 60s that got categorized as folk music. This is real folk music,
real
ethnic
music.
Folk music with the traditional instruments, and they do a good show. I haven't seen them for quite a few years, but
they also say that this is great for all ages. It's not just for adults or kids. It's for all ages, and very entertaining, and it sounds like it's going to be fun. So
Next Thursday,
Thursday.
week from today, and wow, I didn't realize it was free.
No, it's free.
No ticket charge, huh?
Right, no ticket charge.
Now
it's a community event. We need to state that people do know anybody's welcome. It's a total community event.
And the Y does a lot of that, really.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
You mentioned, Dana, that they would like to know if you're coming now, so that they can set up enough chairs or something.
Yeah, they want to make sure they have enough information there. And I'll give the number again. It's 724-287-4733.
Here's some places where Simple Gifts has played, folks. Smithsonian, Brooklyn Museum of Art, Longwood Gardens. That's down by Philly. That's a
it's
gorgeous
pretty impressive,
place
isn't it?
Down there.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Museum of Art, Ontario Center for the Performing Arts. Hershey Theater. Mm. They probably did all the Chocolate Kiss numbers down there when they were at the Hershey Theater. And they have opened for, these are my people, Natalie McMaster, Tom Paxton. Have you ever seen Tom Paxton?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my.
Mm.
Oh, he's fantastic.
We're going to have to talk to you about some of this music, huh?
I've seen Tom Paxton in concert three or four times. Molly Mason, I've seen her, Robin and Linda Williams, Boys of the Lock. So you can see this is ethnic music, but from a wide variety of different Appalachia, Scandinavia, Celtic, gypsy melodies, a lot of good
stuff.
Some
I can't even pronounce.
Well, maybe they'll pronounce them for you. You know.
I saw them a couple in there. I said, don't ask me to read it, honey, because I can't read them. I can't pronounce them.
Linda and Karen just might do that. And these, as is the habit of most singer-songwriters, acoustic singer-songwriters, they give kind of an informal concert. Yeah, this is not, going to Heinz Field where they shoot off fireworks and all that stuff with video boards giving you a headache. Very, very natural. You know, very. I can remember once, even an example of this, I saw Simon and Garfunkel. I've seen Simon and Garfunkel a couple of times. One time I saw them, and they just, you know, the announcer said, And now Simon and Garfunkel, and they both come walking out on stage, each carrying a guitar and dragging a stool. And they walked up to center stage and sat down on the stools and started playing. But they were doing one song, and this was, I mean, this was a big concert.
Wow.
And they goofed it up.
Oh.
Wow.
In the middle. It was that song about, I wish I were a Kellogg's cornflake floating in a bowl, whatever the song. They goofed it up, and you knew they goofed it up, and they looked at each other, and finally Art Garfunkel just stops and says, would you folks mind if we just started this one all over again? That, to me, people loved it.
Awesome.
You know, that's,
oh, I bet they
that's like having these people in your living room, you know,
yeah.
playing for you.
It shows
yeah.
they're real people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm sure that's what you'll get with Simple Gifts. That's what they did whenever I saw.
Great. That
we'd
sounds
like, to,
like it's going
to
be
We'd like to mention a little bit about the AOA also.
Yeah, the Active Older Adult thing. Yeah, it's an Active Older Adult group.
It's a great group.
A lot of adults that are, that go to the Y and they go for exercise and all that kind of stuff. And we go and we go to the Bible study. It's one of the best Bible studies we've ever been in. It's just absolutely awesome. On Tuesday mornings at 10:30, anybody would like to come and join us, just come in and let them know that you want to go to the Bible study, and they'll direct you there.
We go for a bike ride first.
Yeah,
and we don't get
bike.
Anywhere.
Yeah,
we go we about 4 or 5 miles and getting nowhere fast, you know. And we do that at the Y.
Yeah, and we've been involved in some other things. They also had a senior safe driving class there that's coming up.
Yeah,
November
we got a
14th.
Discount.
Got a discount on your insurance.
Yeah, yeah
on
now our
there's
insurance.
A charge for that. It's $16 a person, but I guess that's what it is everywhere for that.
Well, you'd amortize that pretty quickly with the lower insurance.
That's
yeah,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a class. It's called the Toucan Art Class, and they sign up, and they lead you through instruction to help you make your own masterpiece. And there's a beautiful one they're doing now. It's a they're going to do on this one. It's a pumpkin, a picture with a pumpkin, a fall season, fall thing on it. And it's just really beautiful. I'm not an artist, so I didn't join that one, but there's a lot of people that really love it. And they have a Thanksgiving luncheon. That's, and where is that? What time is that? November 16th from 11 to 2. There's a free community event. It's called the, I guess, yeah, it's a free community event for Thanksgiving luncheon. I'm looking at pages here, and I don't want to mess anything up.
Do you notice you accented the word free?
Yeah. Yeah.
Many, anyone who's a member of the Y will be aware of some of these things through their newsletter or bulletin board,
mm-hmm.
but I have a lot of listeners who are not members of the Y. You may be astounded at all of
yeah.
the stuff that goes on down
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
and it's great for Silver
for
and Fit and Silver
fit.
Sneakers people.
Yeah.
Were you looking at my notes here, Dick, because I had that down.
Did you really?
If you're a senior, look into this. It depends kind of on what insurance you have.
Exactly.
That
yeah.
varies from company to company, but they've got one of them is called Silver Sneakers.
Yeah, most of them are
that.
Covers, I think.
And,
most
yeah.
of them have those. So, yeah.
That means
you can go in and you can swim, you can exercise, you can do yoga, all kinds of things in there. And it's just absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
we've just been really thrilled with our membership in the Y, and it didn't cost anything because we're in the senior. I hate to say this, but we're seniors. So
mm-hmm. Well, that's
you know,
what only
that
seniors are eligible for the Silver Sneakers
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
it's mostly free, I think,
yeah.
and or a very reduced rate. So,
yeah.
hey, look into that if you're a senior. And who among us couldn't use a little more movement, a little more exercise
yeah.
once
yeah.
in a while? And if you get a membership to the Y, then you tend to do that.
Yeah,
gym.
We exercise, and then we go to the ice cream social.
In that order, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I have to take a break here.
Okay.
Stick around with us, though. Sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today include Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. If you or someone you love is reaching an age or a condition, and it's not always just getting older either, where you don't think you're hearing as well as you should, or maybe your spouse or somebody in the family is saying, are you hearing as well as you could? You might want to check into this. And please, Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. That's K-E-L-L-I-E. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Personalized one-on-one care. Your hearing aid will be measured to fit you. She makes sure that everything is very comfortable, that you're able to hear well and you're comfortable wearing the hearing aid. And Kelly is not interested in selling you the highest priced hearing aid because some of them are really, really, really expensive. You could save thousands. No overhead. She's interested in helping you and helping you hear better and helping you be more comfortable. Complimentary consultation. There are so many people who have made the change or even just consulted with Kelly, and they are so happy that they did. Give her a call. Call the Hearing Aid Lady. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Phone number is 724-756-4327. 756-4327. And a quick mention of one of our other sponsors, and that's the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. Holidays just around the corner. You realize how close we are. We have just over 2 weeks till we change the clocks. Go back to standard time, first Sunday in November. And you know, right after that, before you know it, it's Thanksgiving. So listen, if you're cleaning up the house for the holidays, maybe cleaning up the guest bedroom, hall closet, garage, whatever, the attic, don't just throw stuff away. First of all, we don't need to put it in the landfill. And the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store can sell these items that you no longer need or no longer want. If it's clothing, maybe it no longer fits. Talk to me about that. I know where you're coming from. Clothing, shoes, miscellaneous items, furniture. Donate those items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. All of the proceeds from the operation of the thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart, every penny, stays right here in Butler County and helps to fund their food bank and their client aid program. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's in the Greater Butler Mart, just south of Butler, right on Route 8. Society of St. Vincent de Paul, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. A quick word on the midday lottery numbers, and we'll be back to talk for a few more minutes with Dick and Dana here on It's Your Turn on WISR. I'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 7878. The pick three, 172172. Pick four, 6043. Pick five, 33185. The wild ball is 9. And the treasure hunt, 3, 4, 10, 18, and 26. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $50,000.
Go first of all. A couple of more items. I had to interrupt Dana. She was telling us about so many of these things that are available through the Active Older Adult Program. Have
that's
I got
right.
that right, Dana?
Yep, yeah.
The
that's it.
Active Older Adult Program at the Butler Y, the YMCA. What else?
These are things that are coming up for the holidays now. I mentioned the Thanksgiving Luncheon, which is free. It's a free community event. It's on November 26th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's fun. And then they also have the Butler Symphony, the Holiday Traditions, they call it the Butler Symphony. And you can get discounted tickets by calling the Welcome Desk by November 28th. And then there's the AOA Holiday Party, and we always have a good time at that. Enjoy a potluck with social activities, and again, we have to register at the Welcome Desk. That's on December 5th, day after Dick's birthday, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and that'll be in a gym. And then there's a Christmas luncheon. So we're pretty busy down there.
We always do that after we exercise.
Yeah. Keeping people excited about doing things for the holidays. And the date on that is December 14th from 11 to 2. And it's also a free community event. So.
Can you just and I'm sure pull you your can chair in a little bit for me there, Dan? Mm-hmm. That's better. And I'll keep my engineer happy.
Yeah.
What about if there are people listening and say, this sounds great. Active Older Adult Program. You could look into this Silver Sneakers thing. But I don't know anybody at the Y. I won't know anybody when I go down there. Don't worry about that, eh?
Well, I'll tell you, just stop down at the Y, and Brenda McGuire kind of leads the Active Older Adult, and I'm sure they can get you a sheet like this that I have here. They can tell you, and that way you'll know all the dates to go. And don't feel like you're going to be among strangers, because we all love to see people. And
we didn't know anybody when we first came.
Yeah, and it's amazing now. And you see more and more people all the time that you do know. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mention that because a lot of people are like that.
Yeah. What am I going to do? I'm kind of get bored. What am I going to do now? So, hey, go to the walk. It's a great place to be.
If you're worried about not having enough friends, you'll have a lot more pretty soon.
Yeah, and if you like to swim, you can swim. If you want to go. They even have line dancing, I think they did at one time. I suppose they still do. So,
well, I tell you what, if you stop down to the Simple Gifts concert a week from today, that would be a good way.
We'll have information there for them to pick up.
Yeah, get up some info and say hello to some folks and so on and so forth.
By the way, you don't have to bring a simple gift to come.
it's really a wonderful name for their group.
Is it really?
Because it kind of describes their artistry. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
As I said, it's not fireworks and video shows. It's simple acoustic music, but from the heart.
Yeah.
I love their stuff.
Yeah.
And that is next Thursday, a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
There is a spoon and a ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Right. Is that it? There is a spoon and ukulele workshop at 11 a.m. With the two women in Simple Gifts, Linda Littleton and Karen Hershon. And then there's their concert at high noon, and then a post-concert workshop at 1:15. All takes place in the gym number one at the Butler Y, the YMCA, and it's free. But you do have to call and say, I'm coming.
And bring a friend. Mm-hmm. Bring a friend if you want. You know, we're more the merrier. It's 724-287-4733, and they're at 339 North Washington Street, Butler. Pretty easy to find. Been there for a long time.
Sounds good. Hey, nice to have you folks here today.
Oh, it was a delight, Dave.
And
I was a little nervous at first. I thought,
It's been fun.
It's been fun. Yeah.
Well, just think, whenever Dick dedicated that song to you. Blow those men.